الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، we continue with شرح العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية أو ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. In our last session we addressed the issue of the decrease in faith and the reasons behind that. And we said that they're pretty much the opposite of what increases one's faith concerning reflecting on Allah's creation, doing good deeds and things of the sort. And the opposite of that will decrease one's faith. We mentioned also that there were two groups who opposed Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in regards to this belief system of ours, which is that of the increase and decrease of faith. And we said these were the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila on one side, and the Murji'ah on the other side. So the Murji'ah represent one group, whereas the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij together represent the other group. Now, and we discussed some of the refutations that the Sheikh gave in regards to their claim that there's no relationship between the deeds and the belief, and how that they actually go hand in hand. Now, we stopped at the statement of the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah in his sharh, وَلِهَذَا قَسَّمَ الْعُلَمَاءُ دَرَجَاتِ الْيَقِينِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ. This is why the ulama have divided the levels of certainty into three. Now, why did we say دَرَجَاتِ and not darajata? Because here it's maf'ul bihi. It's the object of the sentence. And the object of the sentence is mansub. You say, akala al-waladu at-tufahata. The boy ate the apple. Waladu is the subject of the sentence, ends with dhamma. The object always ends with fatha, if it's a regular word. Here you don't say, you do not say darajata, you say darajati. Why? More specifically, jam' mu'annath salim. If the word is the feminine plural, like the word samawat, you will never find samawata. It's always خلق السماواتي والأرض. Notice now, السماواتي وَذَا كَسْرَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَذَا فَتْحَ. Even though they're معطوفين على بعض, they take the same grammatical ruling, because they're just joined with the conjunction and. And the rule is, when something is joined with the conjunction and, that which comes after and takes the same grammatical ruling as the word which preceded. But because it's a feminine plural, like عائشات, سيدات, طائرات, إلى آخرهم الكلمات, those which end with ألف تاء, this one تنصب بالكسرة. It takes a كسرة as علامة نصب لأنها جمع مؤنث سالم. So you say قسم العلماء درجات اليقين ثلاثة أقسام. علم اليقين, what is علم اليقين؟ علم اليقين, knowledge of certainty or certain knowledge, no problem. The house of the teacher or the teacher's house, no problem, same meaning. وعين اليقين, عين اليقين, عين, eye. But what do we mean here? When you say eye, what are you really referring to? Sight. So sight, certainty of sight. وحق اليقين, certainty of truth. Excellent. قال الله تعالى كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عليهم وعليكم السلام. Nay, but if you only knew the علم اليقين, the certain knowledge, or knowledge of the certainty of knowledge, you would have seen the hellfire, the blazing fire. Then you would have seen it with the certainty of sight. Or the certainty of sight. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينَ. That verily, it is the certainty of truth. الطائفة الثانية المخالفة لأهل السنة ولأهل السنة طائفة الوعيدية وهذه الخوارج والمعتزلة. The other group, that was the Murji'ah. We refuted the Murji'ah. Let us come and refute the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. The other group which opposed Ahl Sunnah, they're called Wa'idiyya. Why? What does this Wa'idiyya mean?
Uniqueness.
Uniqueness. That's a unique answer, Ya Ibrahim.
It's a threat.
Yes. We have two Arabic words. Wa'id, promise. Wa'adaka shay'an, he promised you something. Wa'id is a promise of threat. So you add the ya to the word and it flips the meaning. Usually wa'id is something good. Usually, not necessarily. Wa'id is you're being threatened about something in the future. So they call them ayatul wa'id. The ayat of threat. Fawailun lil musallin, ayatul wa'id. Fawailun li kulli humazatin lumaza, ayatul wa'id. Ila akhirih min al-ayat. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Ayat wa'id. Allah is threatening. If you disobey Allah and His Messenger, you have gone far astray and clear astray. طيب. These wa'idiyya are actually the khawarij and the mu'tazila. وَسُمُّوا wa'idiyya. Why were they called wa'idiyya? The Shaykh said, لِأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ بِأَحْكَامِ الْوَعِيدِ دُونَ أَحْكَامِ الْوَعِدِ. Because they only agree with and accept the rulings of threat, but they don't accept the ones of promise, as in the good promise which Allah promised the believers and the muttaqeen. أي يغلبون نصوص الوعيد على نصوص الوعد. They give precedence to the ayat of threat over the ayat of promise. So, if Allah threatened the believers that if they disobey the messenger, they will go to Jahannam, yet in many ayat he said, whoever repents, then Allah will forgive all the sins. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسَهُمْ. All these ayat wa'ad, they don't give him the same value, and they don't give him the same importance as they give to the one of the threat. So they say, yeah, I know that Allah said here, but Allah threatened here. Yeah, but you have to be balanced. Yes, Allah threatened here, but He also promised if you repent, He will forgive you. And He gave certain promises to the believers. So they wind up favoring those ayat over the other ones. The nusus, the textual evidences, whether the Quran or the Sunnah. فَيُخْرِجُونَ فَاعِلَ الْكَبِيرَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. What did that lead them to? They exit the one who commits a major sin. They exit him from the term of iman, from the concept of iman. Meaning they declare his disbelief. If someone commits a major sin, to them he's no longer a Muslim. He is no longer a believer. لكن الخوارج يقولون, but the خوارج particularly say, إنه خارج من الإيمان داخل في الكفر. They say he left iman, entered into disbelief. One who commits zina, one who steals, drinks alcohol, any major sin, they say you're out. You're out of Islam, you have become a kafir. And that's why they fought against so many Muslims and they made their wealth and their honor and their blood lawful, because to them all these were kuffar. All these people who committed sins, to them were kuffar, the major sins. والمعتزلة, this is the khawarij, they're the extremes. معتزلة, they try to play it safe, but they brought innovations. خارج من الإيمان غير داخل في الكفر. We mentioned that. He has left iman and not entered into disbelief. He's stuck in between. You know, like you go in the elevator, and you're stuck on, you know, somewhere between the first and the second floor, and we say, you know, this is their mentality. We cannot say you're neither in the first floor nor in the second floor. Now, in terms of elevators and floors, that's fine. But in our deen, we don't have that. We have either you're a believer or you're a disbeliever. We don't have anything in between. So you can't use these worldly examples to try to apply them to textual evidences, because you need a dalil which says that you're neither a believer nor a disbeliever. If that didn't exist, if the Sahaba didn't have this kind of categorization, then you bringing it along is a bid'ah, and it is rejected Islamically. Very important to understand. بل هو في منزلة عفوا بين منزلتين. He's in a stage, he's in an area in between two. ومناقشة هاتين الطائفتين والمرجع والوعيدية في الكتب المطولات. Now, debating or discussing or refuting these two groups of the Murji'a and the Wa'idiyya, you will find in the lengthy books. كتب المطولات, meaning it's not a مختصر like كتاب التوحيد or أصول الثلاثة, شرح أصول إيمان. These are abridged, small books. مطولات is a huge book, which probably will be in a 5-6 volumes, where they go into the intricacies of all these issues. They don't just kind of scratch the surface, as they say. No, they deal with them in a, like some of the books of fiqh. Go into the books of fiqh, the real mutawwalat. I mean, يعني your brain may freeze. It's just very, very intricate. Now, the average student of knowledge doesn't get that far. He just learns the hukum and the dalil. The hukum is the sma' tahir, and the dalil is such and such. And you stick to that until you reach a particular level where you can actually go into the mutawwalat. Otherwise, if you go into them, like if you read the sharh, Fath al-Bari of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, wallah, you think he's in another world. Even if you know Arabic, even if you're born speaking Arabic, whether you're an Arab or not, doesn't matter. If you spoke Arabic all your life, you read the sharh of the sheikh and you think that you have no idea what's going on. Maybe from a whole page you will grasp 5%. And the rest is condensed, you know, complicated knowledge addressing various sciences in Islam. So that's why the ulama say, you know, what can the scholars do without the fath of Ibn Hajar? Everyone who came after him that had to explain something in Sahih Bukhari had at some point in time to refer to Ibn Hajar. There's no escape. There's no escape. It's an amazing sharh. Similar and not in the sharh of Imam Nawawi to Sahih Muslim, which he wasn't able to complete. But you know what the problem is? That these two ulama, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَافَعَ, both of them were not from أهل السنة والجماعة العقيدة. Neither Imam Ibn Hajar nor the Imam Nawawi. They were known for being among the Muta'awwila, those who used to interpret the ayat and the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal according to the way of the Asha'ira and others. So they had that kind of issue. Now, that doesn't mean, as some extremists have done, that you burn their books and you say these are this and these are that. No, we hold them in a particular, you know, a status in Islam. But at the end of the day, the ulama, when they teach this to their students, they do inform them when it comes to the issue of asma and sifat, you cannot refer to neither Ibn Hajar nor Imam Nawawi. Among the many ulama, rahimahum Allah, qaddar Allah, that these two, which are very much, you know, have produced a lot of knowledge for the Muslims, in this area, they were not reliable. In other issues of fiqh and usul and whatever, mashallah, tabarakallah. But in aqidah, asma, sifat, you don't refer to their interpretation of the Quran and the Sunnah in this regard. Well, طبعاً, inshallah, we assume that, you know, they are among those whose good deeds will wipe out their bad deeds, and their ulama mujtahideen, and their affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have love for them, but at the end of the day, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam is given precedence over any other human being who came after him. طيب, وقوله وهم مع ذلك, and they are along with that, meaning who are whom? أهل السنة والجماعة. أي مع قولهم إن الإيمان قول وعمل. While we أهل السنة والجماعة, we ask Allah to make us among them. While we say that إيمان is deed, is statement and actions, لا يكفرون أهل القبلة بمطلق المعاصي والكبائر. They do not declare disbelief upon the people of Qibla because of the general acts of disobedience and major sins. Ahlul Qibla humul muslimun. Who are Ahlul Qibla? The people of the Qibla or the Muslims. Wa in kanu usat, even if they were disobedient. لأنهم يستقبلون قبلة واحدة. Because at the end of the day, we all face in that same direction. Now that doesn't mean that anyone who faces that direction is a Muslim. Because you may have the Qadianis and some other, you know, people who may face the Kaaba, and that doesn't mean that they're Muslims in any way, shape or form. But we're saying those who are within the belief system of Islam, then all those who turn towards Kaaba are known as Ahlul Qibla. وهي الكعبة. فالمسلم عند أهل السنة والجماعة لا يكفر أو لا يكفر بمطلق المعاصي والكبائر. The Muslim, according to أهل السنة والجماعة, does not disbelieve because of the general acts of disobedience and major sins. Now, here there's something technical. وتأمل قول المؤلف في رحمه الله. Reflect on the statement of the author, may Allah have mercy on him. بمطلق المعاصي. The general acts of disobedience. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ بِالْمَعَاصِي. And he did not say because of sins. He didn't say because of sins and regular sins and major sins. He said no. Because of disobedience and sins. No, he said because of general acts of disobedience and sins. He added the term mutlaq, which means general acts. Or general. لِأَنَّ الْمَعَاصِي مِنْهَا مَا يَكُونُ كُفْرًا. Because disobedience includes that which may be kufr. When you call on a dead person, you actually have committed an act of disobedience because Allah said, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And that the masajid, all places of prostration, belong to Allah. So don't call on anyone with Allah. You disobeyed Allah and you committed shirk. Isn't it? So the sin includes this. This sin is a kufr. This sin is a shirk. وَأَمَّا مُطْلَقِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَلَا يَكُونُ كُفْرًا. However, when you say linguistically, the general acts of disobedience, that does not include kufr. So when you say ma'asiya on its own, kufr is included. When you say مُطْلَقِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ or مُطْلَقِ الْمَعَاصِي, then it means the general act of disobedience and kufr is not included in the process. والفرق بين الشيء المطلق ومطلق الشيء. The difference between the absolute thing and the general thing. أن الشيء المطلق يعني الكمال. The absolute thing means completion. Complete. ومطلق الشيء يعني أصل الشيء. Whereas مطلق الشيء, the general thing, means the basis of the thing. The basis of that thing. فالمؤمن الفاعل الكبير عنده مطلق الإيمان. Listen, the believer who commits major sin has what? Has the general إيمان. Has the general إيمان. فأصل الإيمان موجود عنده. The basis of إيمان exists in him. لكن كماله مفقود. But he lacks completion. The basis is there. Completion is gone. Because had it been complete, he wouldn't have committed the major sin. فكلام المؤلف رحمه الله دقيق جدا. The statement of the author is very accurate. Very accurate. قوله كما يفعله الخوارج. Like the خوارج do. يعني الذين يقولون إن فاعل الكبيرة كافر. Those who say that the committer of the major sin is a disbeliever. ولهذا خرجوا على المسلمين. That's why they found it lawful to go out against the Muslims. واستباحوا دماءهم وأموالهم. And they made lawful their wealth, their blood and their wealth. And the Khawarij يعني caused a lot of fitna in this ummah. Huge, huge. And they remain until today, and they will remain until the Dajjal. Until the Dajjal. They will be around. With this mentality of theirs. And until today you see them all over the place doing takfir left and right of everyone and anything whom they don't agree with or they believe have done some sin without verification. We don't deny that there are acts of disbelief which will, you know, put you beyond the pales of Islam. But they don't verify and they don't care to verify and their aqidah is not sound. So they wind up judging and passing a judgment of kufr against someone who in Islam is not a kafir. قوله بل الأخوة الإيمانية ثابتة مع المعاصي. Sheikh al-Islam said, rather, الأخوة. What is أخوة? أخي. What does أخي mean? Brother. أخي. أخ brother. أخي.
My brother.
Beautiful. أخوة brotherhood. Brotherhood. الأخوة الإيمانية. The brotherhood which is based on faith or the faith brotherhood, is firm and exists even with the existence of sin. One of us committing sin does not negate the brotherhood between us. One may be obedient, the other may be disobedient, that does not negate the brotherhood. يعني أن الأخوة بين المؤمنين ثابتة. The brotherhood between the believers is firm and established. ولو مع المعصية, even if there's sin associated with that. فالزاني أخ للعفيف. The fornicator is a brother for the one who is free from that. For the one عفيف is يستعفف, the one who avoids particular things. In this case, the عفيف is the one who does not engage in any lewd acts, anything which is immoral or inappropriate. He's his brother. Yes, there's a difference between them and the dunya and the life to come and the iman and many different things. But at the end of the day, do we say because this person committed zina, he's no longer my Muslim brother? No, you don't. The Khawarij do. They khalas, you're out of Islam completely. No, we don't say that. وَالْسَارِقُ أَخْ لِلْمَصْرُوكِ مِنْهِ. And even the thief is the brother of the one from whom he stole. وَالْقَاتِلْ أَخْ لِلْمَقْتُولِ. And the deceased and the killer is the brother of the deceased, the one whom he killed. The murderer is the brother of the victim. You must be watching a lot of news nowadays, huh? It's all about murder and victim and Amanda Knox, is that what her name? Did you hear about this whole Amanda Knox stuff? Amanda, right?
Yeah, Amanda Knox.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, man. You know, when she on first she was guilty of murder for killing her British roommate, you know, while they were engaging in some of their crazy, you know, kufr stuff and of sex and whatever, and with the involvement of other people, and she was in prison for 4 years, and then they changed the judge, and then they changed the thing, and then they changed the ruling, and all of a sudden she's innocent and out. She's back in Seattle right now after she was in prison in Italy for 4 years. So somebody left a comment saying she should go and celebrate with O.J. Simpson. You know what I'm saying? Because you got a few people in this world who really, yani, they were, I mean, according to the evidences, they seem to be really the criminals, but in the man-made law, which these people brought that Allah didn't reveal, there are so many loopholes. Because it's human beings. It's human beings. So many loopholes. And these loopholes create the chance for an innocent person to be to become a criminal, to criminalize the innocent, and vice versa. Someone who's a criminal, say, wallah, we the DNA, and we didn't find A, B, you know, all this nonsense, and that's what it entails. Islam saves us all such headaches. You rule by what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, you refer the matters to the judge, there are evidences, and either you're guilty or you're innocent. The excellence of the lawyer has nothing to do with it. Because these people hired the best lawyers to get them out of the whole thing. Because they know the law, they know where there's a loophole. Say, okay, you know this, you had no right to go and question my, you know, blah, 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 this and that. And so they're trying to turn it against the police. Then the police became this and that. So I'm saying this so you will know that in this world, there are crazy things going on. And only the Muslims, when they adhere to Islam, we can free ourselves from all these headaches that the people are having. But it's upon us to live per the Islamic teachings. على كل حال, نعم. ثم استدل المؤلف رحمه الله لذلك فقال. Now, here we establish something. We said that even the killer is the brother of the deceased and the victim. And you can't be saying that without an evidence. You cannot be saying, in fact, anything without an evidence. So what is the evidence? Here comes the evidence for you. كما قال سبحانه في آية القصاص. Who remembers the meaning of قصاص in English?
Revenge.
Revenge. Yeah, you're around there, but not really. We dealt with this. You guys got to work on your da'wah vocabulary. Otherwise, you will never get there. If you're giving a lecture and then you got stuck, what's going to happen? It begins with R. R-E-T. R-E-T-R. I.
Retribution.
Retribution. Thank you, sir. The ayah of retribution. which means that the killer is killed, and that's what it boils down to. That, you know, you get an equal recompense for whatever you've done. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Whosoever has been pardoned in regards to his brother, then he should be adhering to it with fairness. He should be adhering to it with fairness. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 178. Now, let us, the Shaykh will quote the Ayah. Ayatul Qisas, the Ayah of Retribution says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Oh, you have believed, retribution has been prescribed upon you concerning the murder. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. Then whoever has been pardoned by his brother, وَالْمُرَادُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَالْمَقْتُولِ. What is intended by that? The deceased, the victim. Allah still called him what? أَخِي. مِنْ أَخِيهِ. From his own brother. وجود دلالة في هذه الآية على أن فاعل كبيرة لا يكفر. The point of emphasis here is that the one who commits a major sin does not disbelieve. لا يكفر أن الله سمى المقتول أخا للقاتل, because Allah called the one who died, He called them the brother of the killer. He still called them أخي. He established the brotherhood. مع أن قتل المؤمن كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب. Even though killing a believer is one of the most major sins, one of the most major sins, as you all know. وقال وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما. And if two groups among the believers fight, then reconcile between them. فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله. And transgresses against the other one, or is compelling against the other one, then fight the one which is compelling until it returns to the commandment of Allah. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ. So if it does return, فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدِلِ. Then reconcile between them with justice, وَأَقْسِطُ, and be equitable. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah loves those who are equitable. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Verily the believers are a single brotherhood. In the very next ayah. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ. This is Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah 9 and 10. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ آخر لِقَوْلِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ إِنَّ فَاعِلْ كَبِيرًا لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. This is another evidence for Ahlul Sunnah that the one who commits a major sin is not expelled or exited from this from the term of Iman.
Say during the act of sin, during that period, the act of sin. So during the killing of someone, when you kill someone, sin.
Yeah, well, the hadith says that لا يزني الزاني عندما يزني وهو مؤمن. This, the fornicator does not fornicate while he's fornicated, while he's a believer. In other words, at that time, the iman goes away from him, because iman would have prevented him from doing that. When he's done, it comes back. It doesn't take him out of Islam.
So that doesn't contradict.
No, because it says while he's doing that. Meaning right now you may be knowledgeable of a particular ruling. Okay? While you're engaged in that sin, you're a jahil. You're ignorant. Even though you know the ruling. But if you're not able to act per the ruling, you become ignorant even though you know the ruling. At that moment of engagement. Because there's a hadith to this effect, the one that I just told you earlier. That the thief doesn't steal while he's a believer, the fornicator doesn't do, because the faith negates that. So at that point, the weakness of iman and the access of the shaitan will take this person out of that musamma temporarily. It doesn't expel him from Islam permanently. Because the hadith mentions while he's doing it, وَهُوَ يَزْنِي, meaning while engaged in that act. Otherwise, when he's done, what would he feel? Guilty. That guilt is from iman. So that's what it is. Good question. على كل حال وهذا نعم اقتتلوا جمع وبينهما مثنى. Now here the Shaykh goes into very intricate understandings of grammar, and I don't know to what effect or to what extent this is relevant, but nonetheless we'll try to speak of it quickly. Now اقتتلوا is جمع. What is جمع? Plural. اقتتلوا آمنوا أدخلوا. All this is addressing a crowd, which is usually According to the ulama, three or more. Some say two or more. Difference of opinion. وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُثَنَّى اِقْتَتَلُوا جَمْعَ بَيْنَهُمَا dual. And the ayah says, إِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. If two groups of believers fight, plural, then rectify or reconcile between them. Why didn't say اقْتَتَلَا أو اقْتَتَلَتَا, referring to the taifa? Why was there no consistency between the plural verb and the dual preposition? بَيْنَهُمَا, here is a preposition. How come there's no consistency? Because it's supposed to be the same. Say, ذَهَبَ الْوَلَدَانِ ذَهَبَا إِلَى خَالَهِمَا مَثَلًا أَوْ خَالَتِهِمَا إِلَى آخِرِهِ. You mentioned the dual in the verb and the noun and everything related to that. فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ مُثَنَّى جَمْعُ وَمُثَنَّى آخَرُ وَمَرْجَعُ وَاحِدٌ. How is it then that there's, you know, dual, plural, then another dual in one reference? نقول لأن قوله طائفتان الطائفة عدد كبير من الناس. Why? Because the term طائفة is what they call in English a collective noun. It's a collective noun, which includes many people, like a classroom, family, group. You say the class is having fun. So in some parts of, or some applications in English, actually they do say the group are having fun, or the family, and they have some detailed explanation in English. But usually in grammar, these are known as collective nouns, and so you use the singular verb with them. The classroom is right here, or the class is going on vacation. You don't say the class are going on vacation, because even though there are many students, it still remains one entity as a class. This is the kind of word ta'ifa is. فَيَصُحَ أَنْ نَقُولَ اقْتَتَلُوا. So it's correct to say they fought, because even though we're speaking about two groups, each group has how many people? A lot. So we can use the plural for them. وَشَاهِدُ هَذَا قَوْلُ تَعَالَى وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ. And what supports that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and let another group which did not pray, let them come and pray with you. They pray with you. يُصَلُّوا. And Allah said in the beginning of the ayah, طَائِفَة. طائفة, one. Let them pray. It didn't say let it pray, because ta'ifa is a collective noun which includes many people. So you can use singular at some point and plural at the other one. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَمْ تُصَلِّي فَالطَّائِفَ أُمَّ وَجَمَعَ. So the ta'ifa, which is a group, is like a nation or a group of people. وَلِهَذَا عَادَ الضَّمِيرِ إِلَيْهَا جَمِيعًا فَيَكُونُ الضَّمِيرِ فِي قَوْلِ اقْتَتَلُوا عَائِدِ إِلَى الْمَعْنَى. So in the pronoun, in the term اقْتَتَلُوا, is used to refer back to the meaning. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ بَيْنَهُمَا عَائِدِ إِلَى اللَّفْظِ. And بَيْنَهُمَا is going back to the word, the term. So اقْتَتَلُوا is for the meaning, because groups, and بَيْنَهُمَا is for the طَائِفَتَان, the term. I hope that made sense. فَهَتَانِ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. So these two groups of believers fought. وَحَمَلَ السِّلَاحُ بَعْضَهُمْ وَحَمَلَ السِّلَاحِ بَعْدَهُمْ أَوْ سِلَاحَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. And they carried weapons against each other. وَقِتَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ كُفْرٌ. Generally speaking, the believer fighting a believer is an act of disbelief, because of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَعْ هَذَا, with that, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَعْدَ أَنْ أَمَرَ بِالصُّلْحِ بَيْنَهُمَا للطائفة الثالثة التي لم تدخل القتال. Yet Allah said to the third, when He commanded to reconcile between them, He addressed the third group, which did not engage in fighting with these two groups. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيئَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. I translated that earlier. فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ الطَّائِفَ الْمُصْلِحَ إِخْوَى لِلطَّائِفَتَيْنِ الْمُقْتَتِلَتَيْنِ. So Allah made that third group, which was there to reconcile between them, He made them brothers to the other fighting groups. So now the fighting two groups are believers, and the third one, which is an outsider coming to reconcile between them, is also part. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. All of them are single brotherhood. The fighting ones and the ones who are not. The fighting ones and the reconciling one. All of them are a brotherhood. وعلى هذا ففي الآية دليل على أن الكبائر لا تخرج من الإيمان. So with that, there's an evidence that the major sin does not expel you from إيمان. وعلى هذا, so according to that, لو مررت بصاحب كبيرة, لو مررت بصاحب كبيرة فإني أسلم عليه. If I walk by or come across a person who's committing a major sin or who commits major sins, I give him salam. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر من حقوق المسلم على المسلم إذا لقيته فسلم عليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that from the rights of the believer over the other believer, if you meet him, give him salam. وهذا الرجل ما زال مسلما. This man is still a Muslim. فأسلم عليه, I will give him the salam. إلا إذا كان في هجره مصلحة. Unless or except there's a benefit in boycotting him. Unless there's a benefit in boycotting him. فحينئذ أهجره للمصلحة. Then I shall boycott him for the benefit associated with it. كما جرى لكعب بن مالك وصاحبيه الذين تخلفوا عن غزوة تبوك. Like what happened to كعب بن مالك and his two companions who remained behind in the غزوة of تبوك. Even though they had the means, financial means, physical means, they were not from the people of أعذار, they were not those who were excused, yet for some reason or another, they did not go in jihad with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And what happened? The Muslims did not speak to them for a couple of months, 50 days or something, a long time. And if you read the story, the story is very emotional. It's very emotional, and if you probably will cry. Specifically at that time, Ka'b ibn Malik, his dunya, as they say, daqat alayhim al-ardu bima rahubat, you know, the vast earth became tight and constricted upon them because of the feeling. And then he was standing at the roof of his building, and he saw one of his relatives, and he started speaking to him. He said, you know, he looked at him and said, you know, speak to me. He's running. Nobody, the Prophet said, don't speak to them. Give him salam, he doesn't answer him. He said, you know that I love Allah and His Messenger. You know that I love Allah and His Messenger. This is Ka'b ibn Malik. And he wouldn't reply to him. And so that made him even more emotional. So, but then after all this time and trial, then Allah revealed the ayat, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ أَنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ pardoned and forgave them. And so then they came back and they hugged each other because it was like... So here, we learn in that incident that there may be times where you have to boycott particular people for a benefit that exists. From that understanding came the idea of boycotting the people of bid'ah and the deviant and the sinners. But then again, it is, you know, largely misapplied today by people who are more of followers of desires than followers of sunnah, in the name of sunnah. So we've had people who group themselves a particular way, and then now they boycott all the other Muslims and all the other masajid and all the other ulama and all the other du'at, anyone who doesn't adhere to their own sectarian group, they are boycotted and warned against and what have you. And they claim that they do this in the name of the sunnah, and then had they really understood the sunnah, they would have done something else. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has a very important discussion on this issue in terms of boycotting. In this day and time, in this era, in this time we're living, it is not the best treatment. Because the people of the sunnah are a minority, and the people of bid'ah and deviation are a majority. And if we kind of exclude ourselves from mixing with them, and if we remain behind, then who will guide the masses of Muslims to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, keeping in mind that most of them are ignorant. They're simply ignorant, blind followers of their shuyukh and their, you know, whatever. And so you will find some people say, if a masjid of innovation invites you to give a talk, no, you're not supposed to go there, because this is masjid of Ahlul Bid'ah. Tayyib. But the people are inviting me to speak. And I, any one of us, I mean, we're trying to propagate the sunnah. Would you not go and teach them? Yes. Of course. Go and tell them the sunnah. Now don't go drink tea with them and enjoy life. you know, and become their friends and say, Allah, ma fi mushkila, we'll abandon the sunnah for you and we'll do some innovation for you. Now we say, okay, hey, time out. Now you've gone beyond the limitations. But if given a chance to educate the people anytime, you shouldn't say no. Now, after a particular time, you may say, okay, this person, you know, many people gave him da'wah, he doesn't want to adhere to the sunnah. You may say, okay, the ulama say this person should be boycotted. But it is not as, you know, these shabab do today. They join a group, they get excited, they begin, but his mother, his own parents, bid'ah, khawarij, you know, my father is a hizbi. And my father is a hizbi, you know, he's a sururi, qutbi, they came up with all these names. Qutbi, sururi, ikhwani, anyone who's not upon this, alatul, they give him ikhwani, he becomes ikhwani. He say, what is ikhwani? Ikhwan al-Muslimin, this is a political group who wear suits and ties and have a keep a little beard and kind of thing. They have their own way of doing things and they're heavily involved in politics. A person has nothing to do with politics. Yeah, but he's not one of us. He must be an ikhwani, brother. Say, Habibi, this is not a joke in the deen of Allah that you come and give name people titles just because you think it's fine to do so. This is a serious matter. And so, in this regard, people have went to extremes. Why? Many of them were gangsters. Honestly, they were gangsters in the streets shooting each other. Became Muslim, and they brought with them from their jahiliyyah that gangster mentality into Islam. These people I'm speaking about, I lived with them, I mixed with them, and I went crazy along with them. We drove each other crazy because of this nonsense which they were upon. Gangsters. Gangsters treating Muslims like a criminal. A Muslim who may have some issue in applying the sunnah, to them is worse than a kafir and a Christian in the whole world. They will see a Christian, they will kiss his hand, and they will see this Muslim, and they won't even give him salam. And if he gave him salam, they won't even return. And if he came to the masjid, they will kick him out. They will kick him out. In the name of, you know, adhering to the sunnah. But they really don't understand the sunnah. Most of them are, with all, you know, for, you know, honesty, they don't even know Arabic. And if you don't know Arabic, no matter how good you get, you're not going to get there. Let's be very frank. No matter how good you get, you will never get there because you're always confined and restricted to the biased translation of the person who translated for you. Anyone can translate a text. And you see some of the translations of the 40 Nawawi and Riyadh al-Salihin by the Sufis. And the translation is plain 100% Sufi oriented, because the person who translated is Sufi. So once you rely on translations, you have no choice but to have imposed on you the opinion of the translator, who will choose carefully what he wants to teach you. But when you know Arabic, can do that. You're able to read directly the text of the alim, and you're able to understand exactly what he means. And you can, no one can come and put words in his mouth as they do today to the ulama who have warned against them. They warn against them, they say, no, the sheikh didn't intend that. How do you know what the sheikh intended? The sheikh said in words that this is the case. No, but they translate accordingly. So this is why these people they're not even in a position to be doing all the things they're doing. We ask Allah to forgive us and forgive them and guide us all back to what is pleasing to them. At the end of the day, they're still our brothers. Even though we're upset with their extremism, but they remain people who love the sunnah, have a lot of goodness in them, and they need to work on some of these issues so we can reconcile between all of us. Because they've caused a lot of fitna, whether it's done willingly or unwillingly. Ala kulli hal, so let us put this discussion to a close end here. Naam. Aywa. So then, if there's a 50 layla, as it happened to Ka'b ibn Malik wa sahibay alladhina takhallafu an ghazwa Tabuk fa hajaramu al-muslimun 50 layla hatta taballahu alayhim. They left him 50 days, like we said, until Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted their repentance. Wa hal nuhibbu ala sabil al-itlaq aw nakrahu ala sabil al-itlaq? Tayyib. That disobeying or disobedient Muslim, do we love him unconditionally or generally, or do we hate him unconditionally and generally? Naqul la hadha wa la hadha. Neither this nor that. نُحِبُّهُ بِمَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. We love him according to what he has of iman. وَنَكْرَهُهُ بِمَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِ. And we hate him because of what he has of sins. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْعَدِلِ. And this is the justice. And we said this in the lecture of the philosophers. Be careful of that very much widely spread expression. Don't hate the person, hate his actions. He's a Muslim, love him and hate his actions. This is not part of our deen. No. Love the good in him and hate. Love him for the good and hate him for the bad. Not that, because how in the world are you gonna love him and hate his deeds? What? You're gonna put the deeds on the wall and say, I hate you. You're fine, brother. Habibi, I hate your deeds. Of course you hate the deeds. Everyone, I mean, we all hate lies. We all hate, what is this nonsense? You must hate the person, he's the one doing it. It's nonsense. And who are these usual muftis? Facebook. These every Tom, Dick and Harry, and Christina, and Batikha, and these people come. All of these people come on Facebook, mashallah, fatawa day and night. Day and night. So much so that, you know, I don't know if you attend the Chat Islam. You know what the latest fatwa is? The latest fatwa is Steve Jobs. They say to Steve Jobs, may Allah have mercy on you. Rest in peace, Steve Jobs. Why? Because you have an iPhone? If you had an Android, maybe they could go to hell.
Yeah.
Huh? They love iPhone or some, they have some Macintosh. Rest in peace, ya akhi, you're making dua for a Buddhist. He was a Buddhist. On CNN, the day he died, he was all over the main page on CNN Internet. One of them was the spiritual side or something of Steve Jobs. Go in there, the guy was a hardcore Buddhist. Talking about reincarnation and blah, blah, blah. What are you making dua for a kafir? Whom Allah told you He will never forgive. Whom Allah said, La'natullahi ala al-kafirin, the curse of Allah, which means no mercy for them. And after all this, you're going to come and make dua for someone whom Allah told you that He's not going to accept. This is called transgression and dua. Some of the ulama say, if you insist on making dua for a kafir, then you become a kafir. Because you're negating the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Yahud, the Jews, they would deliberately sneeze in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hoping he will say to them, Yarhamukumullah. May Allah have mercy on you. But he wouldn't say that. He would say, Yahdikumullah. May Allah guide you. Right in their face. Now when you say to a believer, he's already guided. This is further guidance. For a disbeliever, you bring a Christian, and if he sneezes, you say to him, may Allah guide you. Some of them may get offended. He wants you to say what? Bless you. He wants you to say bless you. But the Yahud wanted the same thing. They wanted the Messenger of Allah to make dua of rahmah. He knew. Because Allah told him in the Quran Surah Tawbah, don't. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَى قَبْرِ أَحَدٍ مِّمْ Do never stand before the grave. Don't pray for them. They have died while disbelieving in Allah and His Messenger. They died as kuffar. So he would say to them, يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهِ May Allah guide you. وَيَسْرِحْ بَالَكُمْ And rectify your affairs. I mean, this is ample in the Quran and the Sunnah, and there's ijma', consensus of the ulama of Muslims about the impermissibility of making dua for the kafir. And you tell this to these Facebook muftis, and they will tell you, yeah, brother, but you know, but I think, you know, this is not fair. Do you know, were you there when he died? What if he gave the shahada before he died? What if he gave the shahada before he died? This is their reason. You never know. I said, if this is the case, then our deen will be lost. Because any person who dies on his own could have become a Muslim before he died. And so what? We no longer can apply the ruling. We judge the apparent. We go by what is apparent. If he became a Muslim before he died, it's between him and Allah. Allah's not going to put him in Jahannam. It's between him and Allah. But for us, we don't have this hypothetical, maybe, maybe not. No. Last thing he said he was a Buddhist. We treat him as a Buddhist. And end of story. Whether someone became a Muslim before he died, this is none of our business. None of our business. So they have come with all these philosophical arguments, and it's really, really disgusting. Ala kulli hal, this is enough for the day, inshallah. Bi-idhnillah, next week, if we all remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with a continuation on this topic. And refutation against the Mu'tazila, the Khawarij, and the Murji'ah. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam alayhi Muhammad. And the hadith which I discussed, you mentioned earlier, is coming up, akhi. So inshallah you'll have more clarity concerning it. Jazakumullah khair.